Blog Talk Radio.
This is 8-Figure Business Coach Radio, scaling up to 8 figures. Episode number 36, Do You Know Your Leadership Style? Welcome to Scaling Up to 8 Figures. Hi, I'm your host, Victoria. Building an 8-figure business is intentional and not accidental. I equip entrepreneurs with business building skills to scale towards an 8-figure business or more. Each week, join me for proven strategies on positioning your brand, digital marketing strategies, leadership, system and processes, mindset, and time management. Now, let's get started on episode number 36, Do You Know Your Leadership Style? This is very, very important because there's quite a few leadership styles out there, but there are a few that are notorious for doing a really great job when it comes to leading your people. So let's talk about a couple on today's episode. So charismatic, individuals that we can think of that have the charismatic leadership style or form is, let's say, Oprah Winfrey. When they have a charismatic style, they know everyone by their first name. They actually make sure that they have an influence over others' people's personalities through their personality. They're very energetic, motivate people, they inspire passion, and they seem to believe more in self than in the team. Those are the behaviors. And you kind of want to use that when you're looking to spur others into action, when you want to expand your position in the marketplace, your organization's position, or when you want to kind of look at raising the morale in your organization. And some of the things you want to look at is, what is the impact? So when you look at the behaviors, then you look at when you want to use it, and then the impact can create a risk that when you leave, people start not to do well. When you're that charismatic and you have such an influence, when you're not around, you may have it where others seem to, like, flounder. They don't do well. You may have that your team's success is, once again, directly related to your presence. So charismatic is great when you want to get morale up, but you also want to come to being innovative. And we could think of someone like Richard Branson, which is of, I think he's in the, one of the top when it comes to Virgin Airlines. That's who Richard Branson is. And, or we could say Virgin Group. Some of the behaviors of an innovator is they can really look at the whole situation at one time and come up with a really great course of action. That is a great thing to be able to do. And they can usually see what's working and what's not and think quickly on what you need to do to bring that play into action on what you need to do to make it work. Some great times to use that is when you are entrenched in something, when everyone is, like, stuck in and their heels are stuck in and you really want to kind of bring something along. It's a great time to be, like, an innovator. And when you want to create a work environment that can solve problems and develop new products. The impact this has is it sort of can speed up failure. It can actually show failures a lot faster, and it can gain job satisfaction and enjoyment, and it's an atmosphere where it presents others for respect. So this is something that you can look at in those situations. Now, one that a lot of people have is command and control. And you could think of someone that is in charge of a very large Fortune 500 company that normally only knows command and control. This leadership style used to be the number one throughout, but not so much anymore. And a lot of coaches have that command and control. And the behaviors are follow the rules and get to it. There's no room for playfulness. When you want to use it, when safety is at stake, like in the military. A lot of times in the Army, it's like, do it right now because safety is at stake and you really got to get people in shape. When you're the sole decision maker, when you have to get something in compliance right away, and when you have critical situations with like financial, legal, or HR issues, this is a great time to implement command and control. No room for anything that someone's trying to deviate. The impact this can have on others is if it's used too often and too much, people can feel really restricted and limited. Like, you know, you want it to be your way or no way. And it really does not allow them to develop their own leadership skills. Also, you have little chance to learn from the other individuals. You're telling them exactly what to do, step by step by step. So it's really hard to learn from them when you use the command and control. Now, another one is laissez-faire. Laissez-faire is when you're kind of let people kind of go in their own way. So when we look at some behaviors and we look kind of let them do their own thing, you trust others, you kind of like monitor their performance, and you give regular feedback. But you do not get directly involved. You don't really kind of control the situation. You kind of sit back to see what others are going to do. When this is really great to use is when you have a team working remotely or in different locations, or when you have a project under multiple leaders and they kind of have to get together and come back together at a specific date or time, but they can work individually. This is really, really great for the leaders that kind of are laid back and they want to see others take charge. They kind of want to sit back and see where you're going with this. So, and also, it's really, really great to see how well a team works well together when you use this type of leadership style. The effects on others normally, in order to make this work, really important, you have to have a team that's skilled, experienced, and self-directed. We always talk about a self-managing company. Well, this is when you have to have a team that's self-managing. They're really, really good at the use of time and resources. It's not like the command and control where they have to go step by step by step. This one is kind of willy-nilly. You allow people to do their thing. So you have to know your team in order to allow this type of leadership skill to work. Pace setter, that's the next one. And you might think of the, let's look at one. I would say the Amazon guy, the guy that is in charge of Amazon. The founder of Amazon, I would say, is a pace setter. He has a lot of different ideas. He's way out ahead, and even his business model, a lot of people didn't think it would work back in the day. So behaviors are you really, really set high performance standards for yourself and your group, and you really, really get the best behavior and you seek the best behaviors from others. When to use it? This is really great for highly motivated and highly skilled individuals that can move at a fast pace. It's also great when action and key results are critical. When you have to get results, this is one of those when you have a pace setter. You need those fast results quickly. The impact it could have on others is they may not be able to sustain this too long because your staff may really get burnt out from such a demanding pace. This has a high pace, high burnout rate. The results delivered at speed, and sometimes your staff can't keep up with it. So this is one that you have to know, just like all the other ones we've talked about. What's so great is when you have a situation where you need command and control, you have to know when to implement it and when not to, just as in the pace setter. The next one we're going to talk about is the servant. The servant, actually, their behaviors are they put others before their self. They look to include the whole team in the decision-making process. They provide tools to get the job done. And they stay out of the limelight, and they like to let the team get the credit for the results. That is the leadership style of a servant. Very interesting. They like to say, and the one person that stands out is the co-founder and former CEO of Southwest Airlines. And he famously said, the business of the business is people. And his philosophy reflected that, how you can tell the behaviors we just went through. When you want to use the servant leadership, you want to use this when the leader is elected to a team, organization, committee, or a community. When everyone is similar at the same level, and you want to make sure you meet the needs of the team. Now, when we look at the impact, a lot of times these leaders are known to be some of the best places to work. When they put the business of the people of the business first, and they feel the business is the business of people, they create a positive culture, and it leads to high morale. Now, the difference in this and one of the other leadership styles we talked about with the charismatic is sustained. When you use the servant behavior and you put the people of the business first and foremost, it sustains morale, not just for a second. And this is really not suited for a situation that requires quick decisions or a meeting that has tight deadlines. The servant is not for that. The next one we're going to talk about is situational. Situational behaviors normally link their behaviors with the group, the group's readiness. So in other words, they look at it as a situation. Is the group ready to handle the behavior of whatever the project they need to implement and execute? They need to implement it, and they need to execute it. And that's really, really important, because you can implement something and never really execute it and get to the finish line. So when you look at this, this is really great with coaching. It's a part of empowering. It's directive. It's supportive. And these are the behaviors you get in situational. So a lot of business coaches, myself, when I do business coaching and when I do consulting, this is the type of leadership that I normally direct and have my clients look as a form of being able to keep and go with their own team and group. When you want to use this is really great for ongoing process and procedures. When you need to refine, reinvent, and when you're looking at retiring some type of product or service and you need your people to help you do that. So this is an ongoing process, like we said, when you're looking for refinement, reinvention, and to retire something. One of the things a lot of people don't like about it is it can be confusing if the behavior changes because it's situational. So one day you could be this way and one day you could be another way, and that could be confusing. And it really can reduce the uncertainty as the leaders adapt to the behaviors and not so much a consistency. The last one we're going to talk about is transformational. Transformational is one of the top coaching methods that's used. You transform the person from where they are to where they're trying to go. Now, the behaviors are, it expects the team to transform even when you're uncomfortable, and that's a big part of coaching. Taking someone from their comfort zone to an uncomfortable zone where it stretches them. And this is the same thing that the leadership skills that are used to stretch and grow their team. It actually counts on everyone giving their best, and it serves as a role model for all those that are involved. And when to use it? It's normally going to be used when you have creative ideas and actions, when you want to pursue innovation, when you want to motivate your group by being committed, enthusiastic, and you're full of optimism. You're very, very optimistic. Now, the impact it can have is it can lead to being highly productive, and you can really engage all of your team members. Your team, however, needs to have direct-oriented people, very direct and detailed-oriented people to ensure that the work schedule is done. Now, when we look at all of the different behavior of leadership styles we just spoke about, you may say, which one am I? And what's great is if you have a winning formula is when you're able to recognize you have one natural or several natural ways of being a leader, several that may have been taught and that you've gravitated towards, several that feel comfortable to you, but the winning goal is to know, and the winning combination is to know when to be more of a servant. I like that one probably as one of the best because it puts your team first and you normally get the best results. And it definitely must work if Southwest Airlines founder was able to format his complete company based on that type of leadership style. But I think if you were to talk and listen to the majority of your leaders, including yourself, those of you who have starting businesses, who have had to work in corporate, and who are now starting your business, you may not have liked the leadership style of your supervisor. So there are things that you want to take from that experience and implement, and other things that you want to change completely. And that's what's so great about developing a leadership style. But it should feel comfortable, and it should be a fit for your personality. But the great things about a leadership style is knowing when to implement, what behaviors, and when not to. That is what I would say the takeaway is from the 8 different leadership styles that I discussed. Knowing and understanding when, where, and how to implement, and what is the benefit of each. When you understand people more and you understand yourself, you'll be able to do that. But when I spoke last week about the 4 P's, the people, the price, the process, and the product, people are the number one. That is always the number one. So when I think of that, always think of your people when you're looking at your leadership style. I hope this episode was informative, insightful, and impactful. Join me next week for how to establish and how to market and how to position your product and services. And we're going to discuss if your prices are too high, how to acquire new customers in the marketplace, how to gain more share of the marketplace, and really all about positioning your products and services in the marketplace. The markets have become so crowded with so much noise and so many different ideas that you can get started, but once again, never implement and actually execute what is going to be the best fit for your product and service. So please join us next week, episode number 37. Also, we love social media, so please visit us on social media, Facebook, 8 Figure Business Coach, Twitter at 8 Figure Coach, or leave a comment in the comments section of this episode. Also, visit us at www.8figurebusinesscoach.com. I said the in there. There's no B. There's no V. It's www.8figurebusinesscoach.com, or give us a call at 1-800-731-9005. We'd love to hear from you. And sign up and receive a free weekly dose of business resources to scale your business towards 8 figures. That is the goal, is to reach as many businesses that can scale their business towards 8 figures. Scale to sell. That is the goal. So, until next time, much success. Bye-bye.